Bread from heaven. Exodus 16, 2 to 15 is our text this morning. We're in the book of Exodus, as we heard, and if you know the story, you know that there's something about God's people there, and a lot of movement involved for His people. And so let's just think about the context here of our text as we get to chapter 16 in Exodus. We have the Israelites, God's people, several hundred thousand of them in Egypt, and they're enslaved there. And they have been for a while as Pharaoh was afraid of their numbers, the king of Egypt afraid of their numbers and said, in order for them not to rise up, we need to make them slaves. And so they did. And you might remember the story of the 10 plagues and then Pharaoh telling them, okay, get out of here. And Moses was leading them, and then as they went away, Pharaoh had a change of heart and chased them down. And they came up against the Red Sea, and they had nowhere to go. And God opened up the sea in front of them, and they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. And Pharaoh's army was drowned in the sea as they tried to pursue. So we have here God's people being saved from slavery in Egypt, and that is seen later on as a symbol of God's bigger picture of salvation for the world. Everything that has been happening here for the Israelites has been, you know, they were wary at first about, you know, Moses coming and demanding, you know, things went worse for them right away. But then God set them free. They came out of Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. They were free. But they were in a wilderness, a very dry, barren wilderness. And so they had a couple instances already by the time we get to our text today where they had some bitter water and it had to be made pure so they could drink it. And so as they were going along, they had a little bit of that happening already. This was a lot of people that needed to be fed and needed water for drinking. And as we get to our text here, it's now, you know, they're traveling into the wilderness, but it's less than 2 months since they had all of these things happen. The plagues in Egypt, being set free, crossing the Red Sea in a miraculous way. As the water became bitter at that previous time, they already had started grumbling. I don't know what, you know, kind of forgot a little bit about everything that God had been doing for them. And God has been taking care of them, but we will find in our text today, we will find them complaining again. And so we get to, you know, shortly into their travels after coming out of Egypt. That's where we get to today. Exodus 16, verses 2 through 15. I'll invite you to stand as I read that. Exodus 16, 2 through 15. Reading in Jesus' name. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you will know that it was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him." "Who are we that you should grumble against us?" Moses also said, "You will know that it was the Lord when he gives you meat to eat in the evening and all the bread you want in the morning, because he has heard your grumbling against us. Who are against him? Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses told Aaron, "Say to the entire Israelite community, 'Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, 'At twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God.' That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, Thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this account of the provision that you made for your people in the wilderness. And as we consider the way that you provide for us, we ask that you would guide us in our hearts and in our minds as we think on this, and that you would increase our trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to have a seat. And I'll invite any of the kids that would like to come up to the front to come up here. All right, come up to the front. Got something I'm going to use here in a minute, but I'll set it aside here for the moment. All right. How did you hear God providing for His people in what I just read? Did you hear Him give them anything?
Bread.
Yeah, He gave them something for bread, right? On the ground, and He gave them what else? What's quail? Did you hear that? It's a type of bird, right? So they came in, they just flew all on their own into the camp, and they had meat to eat, right?
In my classroom, when I was in kindergarten,
I got quail eggs. You got quail eggs in your kindergarten class? Oh, cool. So you know a little bit about quail, right?
And when they were leaving,
mm-hmm.
we got to pet them.
Oh, nice. Well, you've had more experience with quail than I have then. Oh, that's kind of fun. Well, I wanted to ask you, well, here's what I was thinking. Here's what we have. What if you got up in the morning and you saw, I'm going to roll this out here. What is it?
Bread?
Well, it's actually cotton balls, but, that's a good question. What is it? You know, that's the question that they asked. Because as they looked out and they saw we're going to pretend this is the manna that they found. We didn't have the word manna in our text, I don't think, but we had that. It actually comes from the word, what is it? And they asked, what is it? And they actually thought, well, that's a good name for it. Let's call it, what is it? Because we don't know anything else to call it. So they found that on the ground, and God told them to collect it. You know what? How easy would that be? Do you guys have food that just appears, or do you have to do more work? Maybe you don't, but maybe your parents do. Does the food just appear for you?
No.
No? Well, maybe, because your parents make it. But what's the process that your family has to go through to get food?
They have to get all the stress of getting good food. And
yeah.
They
get some junk food. We've got to throw a little bit of that in too, right? As a special treat. Yeah.
They have to go to the store.
Go to the store, get it. Yeah.
Money with them.
Right. Got enough money. And what happens before the food gets to the store? The things that they buy.
It gets
yeah, there's a farm. There's a big. There are trucks that bring the food to the store and all that. What if you got up in the morning and you went outside your house and you just had something like this? You know, not cotton balls, but something that you could actually eat around your house, and you just go and collect it, and then you come on in and into the house, and maybe you bake it a little bit or something like that. But you didn't have to go out. You didn't have to grow anything. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, that was what God did for His people. Do you know what? Were they always happy with that? You know what? We find out later they weren't. They even started grumbling about that. Hey, you're giving us free food, but it's kind of boring now, right? They kind of go to grumbling pretty frequently.
Make it in different ways, like cook it.
Oh, yeah.
Cut it up.
Yeah, have different ways to prepare it. Maybe they tried that. Well, we'll find that. I think maybe we find sometimes the different way that God provides for us. Maybe we grumble a little bit too. Have you ever had that happen where your parents gave you something to eat and no, Samuel's already saying no, never happened. Your parents gave you something to eat and you said, oh. That never happened?
Yes.
And maybe sometimes,
once
yeah.
One of my parents made me at least eat a piece of fish.
A piece of fish?
Yeah, it tasted like barf.
Oh, okay. That didn't taste good, huh? Like barf, huh? Okay. All right. Well, I have a little, there's bread on here and also a cup, and we'll find out what that's about a little bit later. Here you go. And there's some grapes there, too. But you can take that. If you want to take a cotton ball or two with you, I don't know, maybe you want to take one of those. One or two, just a couple. Just one or two of them, if you want to. All right. And that can be your manna for today. All right. Thanks for coming up, guys. I'm going to quickly set this back out of the way over here. Never know what's hiding behind this stuff over here. All right. Well, as we kind of thought about with this, as we were talking to the kids here, we're talking about, as it started out, the Israelites are grumbling against, Moses and Aaron, and they kind of realize that it's not really against them, right? It's really against God. But listen to the words that they say as they first start grumbling here. If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Think about their perspective here. Yeah, we had a terrible life, but, well, we had food that was, somewhat easy to get, I guess. How often, as we think about that, how often might we do that as well? We concentrate on something that's we think something else could be better without actually looking at the blessings that God has given us. As they complain and grumble against Moses and Aaron, it turns out, no, it's really against God. And God responds and he says, you know what, you're going to see my glory. And you will see that. And so they did see his glory in the cloud. And they also were provided. God provided for them. And he demonstrated that he would provide for them. Did he wait? Do you think he waited for them to be grumbling? Or could they have come with a grateful heart and simply ask him? I think he probably would have provided if they simply said, hey God, we're a little hungry. Do you have an idea for us? Right? Something like that. So the attitude there. But what a gracious gift from God. Later on, there are some consequences to the grumbling sometimes. But look at this right here. We don't see any consequences. He just says, you know what, guys? I'm going to provide for you. What a gracious gift from God that he sometimes just does that. Our heart is grumbling, but he just provides. So as they as he provides the bread in the morning, the manna that comes with the dew, he gives them some instructions. And he says the instructions are to test them, to see if they will trust him and follow the instructions. Gather enough for that day only. And we read in other places that some didn't. They gathered extra. And they found out it just spoiled. But he said on the sixth day, gather enough for the following day as well. And then we find that some, once they found that it only lasted the day, actually in the first part of that time, they actually didn't gather more the sixth day. They waited for it the seventh day, and they went out, and it's like, well, it's nowhere to be found, because God had told them, provide for the both days from the sixth day. So he has some instruction, and he tells them to follow that. And he just says, graciously, I will provide for you. And all of this is designed to show the people his grace. And they have quail covering the camp. Imagine that. You don't even have to go out and search for meat. It just flies into your house. What if you... Yeah, I don't know if any of us wants quail flying through our windows. But if we were very hungry and didn't have any food, maybe we'd be happy for that. But then you have the manna on the ground. What is it? And that's where the name comes from. What is it? Notice again God's patience with the people. And think about how often is God patient with us? How often do we grumble? When I was 8 years old, so February 23rd, 1986, right on my birthday, I actually looked that up because I knew it was a Sunday, so it's nice you have Google. I can say, well, how old was I? Which birthday? Well, I know. That one was a Sunday, so I know it was that one. I walked out of the... a country church, that my dad was the pastor at, and normally we didn't go to that church. Also, he also pastored in town, and that's where our family usually went, as he went out and preached at the other one. But we went there together because after the service, we were actually headed on a trip right away after we finished. So we were there with him, we finished the service, and it felt like, I mean, as I remember it, it felt like kind of a warm day. I mean, it was in February up in Canada, so, you know, it probably wasn't that warm, but it was a sunny day at least, and it, you know, it was a nice day. But we got in our car for an 8 to 10 hour drive, and to some friends of my parents in way up north in Minnesota here in Roseau. And so we were driving across Canada to get there. And the way that I remember the story is what happened that day is that I, even on my birthday, had to sit in the middle seat in back. And I just felt like that was unfair. Life was unfair if on my birthday I have to sit in the middle seat between my younger brother and sister. And not only is it my birthday, but they're younger than me and I'm bigger than they are and I should sit on the edge. And then the other thing is, as I remember it, I'm sure this is accurate, they kicked me all the way, the whole trip. I think even my legs were bruised and almost broken by the time, you know, from all their kicking as we got to our destination. And as we got to this friend's house in near Roseau, we got out, we got there, and our hostess brought out a wonderful birthday cake. But do you know what my attitude was at that point? I don't want a birthday cake. I don't want this cake. I had a terrible drive here, much terrible than any of you can imagine. It was just terrible, and I don't want the birthday cake. And you know what? I'm embarrassed to say, you know, I was 8, so I guess, you know, maybe you could understand my, but really, I stuck to that. And enough that my mom had to really take me aside and talk to me and say, you know, our friend, she prepared such a nice birthday cake for you, and you really should show us a little bit of gratitude there. And I don't know how it exactly ended out. I don't know if I even changed my attitude at that point. But I think, maybe, do you agree that sometimes in life we can get that way? The things that are happening to us in life can cause us to grumble, and we even don't maybe want the good things that God is offering to us and giving to us, because we feel like we need the attention on what's going wrong for us. But God is gracious, and He's patient, and He still provides. And in addition, when it comes to what God gives us, sometimes those things that make us grumble are the physical needs and the physical wants and the things that are going on in this short, you know, even if it's long, even this short life here, without regard for what happens in eternity. And God wants us to focus on spiritual things, the things that are in heaven, eternal life. And yes, Daryl is right. We're going to connect this to our gospel reading for today. If we think about that reading, last week our gospel reading came from Jesus walking on the water. And right before that, he had fed 5,000 people. If you remember that story, they're out in a kind of a barren place. There's nothing around, and the disciples bring some food to him that they had, just a few loaves and fish, and everybody in the crowd gets to eat. And then as the crowds are there in the evening, Jesus goes to pray, sends the disciples across the lake, and Jesus walks across on the water, you know, scares them, and then joins them, and they get to the land. Well, following that is the reading we have this morning. And now the people that were left there are thinking, where is Jesus? Where is he? And so they track him down. Some boats come over, they get in the boats, they cross the lake, follow to where Jesus is, they find him. And they ask him the question, how did you get here? When did you get here? And do you think that was actually what they wanted to know? I think sometimes you've had that experience where either you ask a question or somebody else asks a question, and the one that you're asking is not really the one that you want to know, right? And by Jesus' answer, we understand that Jesus sees through their question to what the real question is. They don't want to know the details of when and how Jesus got to this place. They want to know, why did he leave them? They had fun. They enjoyed hearing him teach, you know, sitting around, hearing him teach, eating this food that they didn't have to do anything to get, watching this miracle. That's what they wanted. And Jesus said it wasn't because of the signs and because of what they mean. So what lesson can we learn from that feeding of the 5,000? It wasn't that that brought them to him. It was the fact that they wanted food. They liked the food. Give me some more of that food. They're not hearing the message of salvation, a salvation that is bigger than the people being led out of Egypt from the previous, from that Exodus reading. It's a bigger salvation even than that. It's the salvation of eternal life. But like the Israelites back then, now in Jesus' time, they're still just focused on food. They had their fill, and they want more of that. And Jesus said, don't work for food that spoils. Don't have your mind set on that. Have your mind set on food that endures to eternal life. And this comes from the Son of Man. He will give this to you. And here we have this exchange, this dialogue then. What works does God require of us? Well, Jesus says, believe in the one that he sent. That's what you do. And the people still thinking about this food that they got. They say, what sign will you do to demonstrate that we can believe? And they said, you know, our ancestors, they ate this manna. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus clarifies, you know, it wasn't Moses that gave them this manna. It was the Father who gives. And now he switches to his theme. He's kind of almost leaving the manna. He didn't even clarify that God had given it. He says, let's move beyond the manna and let's get to true bread. It is the Father who gives true bread from heaven, bread that gives life to the world. Well, they like to hear about that. I don't know if they're cluing in on what Jesus is getting at yet or not, but they still, you know, they're thinking about bread. Maybe there's a spiritual idea to their coming into their mind now, maybe not. But they just say, give us this bread. And if you were a part of our VBS a couple weeks ago, one of our verses was the one that we finished with in that gospel reading. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. How does that promise compare with our physical needs? When we're concentrating on our physical needs, how does Jesus' promise of bread through him that makes it so we never go hungry, how does that compare with that? And we might ask the question, how is Jesus the bread? How do we receive the true bread from heaven? Well, we understand from reading beyond this that the true bread, that Jesus is the bread in the sense that he did the work on the cross. It's that bread, the fact that he is the bread, is connected to his work on the cross of dying for us and for our sins and rising again to new life. And this brings us then, today we get to participate in communion together. And he gives us, we are reminded and nourished by the bread of life as he gives us his body broken for you, he says. We get to participate in that. If we think about the comparison between physical and spiritual needs, the amount that we take in communion is certainly not a filling meal. I don't know if anybody would be done with communion and go home and say, I don't have to have lunch, we had communion at church. You know, it's not a filling meal like that, right? But it's bread, spiritually, bread from heaven for eternity. We get to commune with Jesus and what he has given us. It is a real spiritually filling meal. So let's think about when we do grumble, and maybe sometimes our grumbling is focused on our physical needs, and we might ask, when are these times where we kind of forget the spiritual, the things that are more important, and just focus on the physical things around us? When we do that, we recognize that God's intent is to give us spiritual food, primarily. And he does. He offers it to us. And then, you know what? He often gives us all the physical food and nourishment that we need, too. Enough to sustain us, right? That's how good He is. We grumble against Him and He supplies us. Salvation in Jesus and the things for this life. What a wonderful, great God that He is. And we get to thank Him for what He does. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this account of the people grumbling, and that we recognize that we also can grumble against You, that we can focus on things that are not always the important things in life, and that even sometimes maybe complain that maybe You should do more. Sometimes we can get to that point. And we thank You that even there, You do not come at us with judgment, but with Your grace, with Your forgiveness, with Your Son, Jesus Christ, and what He has done for us. And I ask that You would help us to trust in that word and be strengthened by it, and share that with others as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.